Well, today is the first Sunday of Lent, and we've made it through half week at the beginning, which I think is usually the hardest part. And we're looking at our first full week ahead of us. Now, I wanted to talk today about the first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, which we had this past week. This day is the inaugural day of this holy season, and in a way it defines or sets the stage for what this season is and what it means. So we can learn a lot about Lent by looking at the liturgy on that day, on Ash Wednesday, especially looking at the prayers of the Mass, because it tells us how we should spend our Lenten season, how we should fast, and what motives we should have. Before we get to that, it's good to know the history of Ash Wednesday. The ceremonies of Ash Wednesday were not originally intended for all the faithful, as far as receiving ashes, but only for Catholics who had committed very serious and public sins, and that they had gotten a public penance for. So these penitents would be gathered into the church, where all the faithful were also present. The priest would hear the accusation of their crimes, and the penitents would be clothed in sackcloth, and then ashes would be sprinkled on their heads. And then all of the clergy and faithful would prostrate themselves on the floor and sing the seven penitential psalms. And then they would make a procession in which the penitents would walk barefoot, and they would go out of the church and process out in public. And then when they got back to the church, the bishop would perform a very beautiful, very symbolic ceremony, but one that was very humiliating for the penitents. And he would say in front of all the faithful to the penitents, he would say, "Behold, we drive you from the doors of the church because of your sins and crimes, as Adam the first man was driven out of paradise because of his transgressions." And then the penitents would leave the church and the doors were shut, and they couldn't come back into the church again until Holy Thursday. And it wasn't until the 11th century that these public penances stopped being observed. And then all of the faithful started receiving ashes on their foreheads as a sign of humility. In the early days of the church, the penances for sin were a lot more severe than they are now. People who had committed public grave sins weren't allowed to come into the church. They had to do public penance, and sometimes for a long time. So what we have now is a lot easier than what they had in those days. But we have to be sure not to abuse the privilege, not to make this leniency that we enjoy now an excuse for us to sin even more. It's important to know a little bit about the ceremonies of Ash Wednesday, too. Those of you who made it on Wednesday, and I was very happy to see the zeal of so many of you to come in the evening on Ash Wednesday, and I really want to congratulate so many of you for starting out Lent so well. But those of you who couldn't make it, I suggest that you read the prayers of the ceremony in your missal. Because, as I said, this sets the tone for the whole season of Lent. Now, in the blessing of the ashes, the priest starts out by asking for mercy for himself and for the faithful. And then he recites the four blessing prayers over the ashes. Each prayer mentions the purpose of the blessed ashes. The first prayer says, "Grant that whoever will be touched by these ashes for the remission of their sins may receive health of body and protection of soul." That's one of the effects of the pious use of these ashes. It helps the body and the soul. The second prayer mentions that we wear them as a sign of humility. There's a reference to dust and ashes there. and also to obtain the pardon of sin. Remember that the devout use of any sacramental brings about the forgiveness of venial sins. In the third prayer of the blessing, we ask our Lord to give us the spirit of compunction or sorrow for our sins. And the fourth prayer talks about the Ninevites and how they were spared because of their penance. These are the people in the Old Testament that God sent the prophet Jonas to preach to. It's a classic Lenten story. And they believed Jonas's warning that the city would be destroyed if they didn't do penance. And so then they proclaimed a fast and covered themselves with ashes. And they obtained the pardon of God. So we ask our Lord to help us to imitate them and to obtain pardon for our sins, just like the Ninevites did with their penance. Then the people all come up and they're marked with ashes in the form of a cross on their foreheads, like so many of you will be after Mass today. And as the priest is making the sign of the cross, he says in Latin, "Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return." Now, when we receive these ashes, we should accept willingly our sentence of death. We know that we are nothing but dust and ashes. We're all going to die. And it's a scary thought, but we should accept it willingly as a penance for our sins. And in fact, theologians teach that someone who accepts his death as a penance for our sins, accepts it patiently and willingly as the will of God, that takes care of a lot of their punishment of purgatory, if not all of it, because that is the greatest penance that we can do. We should also humble ourselves when we receive the ashes, because we are nothing but dust and ashes. So how can we be proud, or how can we refuse to submit to the law of God? All we are is a pile of ashes, and one day that is exactly what we will become. And that is what Ash Wednesday reminds us of, that our days pass away, and one day there will be a morning for us, but no evening, or there will be an evening, but no morning. And then we will die and we will be judged for our entire lives. In the light of eternity, the life of man is so short. And Scripture even compares the life of man to ashes. If you blow on a pile of ashes, it just spreads everywhere and it's gone. And the same is true of the life of man, but we usually forget that very often, and we just live for the moment instead of eternity. And so these are some of the things that we should be thinking about when we receive our ashes. Now, notice this, though. God requires that we be humble, so the liturgy of Ash Wednesday does that. It humbles us. But then it raises us up. It makes us think of our sins, our nothingness, our suffering, but then it reminds us of the mercy of God, who came not to call the just, but to call sinners to repentance. And so you see that all throughout, not only Ash Wednesday, but throughout all of Lent, how the church lifts us up from humility and degradation to confidence. This is a very important part of the virtue of humility that people often forget. They think of humility and ashes and repentance as dragging ourselves down and making ourselves nothing. And that's true, but there's much more to it than that. Humility is actually something that empowers us because it makes us get rid of the false confidence that we have in ourselves. It makes us put our confidence where it really belongs, which is in God. It's actually the proud person who is weak, because pride goes before a fall. But the humble person knows where to find true strength And that is in God. And that's a theme that we see throughout the liturgy of Lent, the collects of each day and the rest of each proper Mass for each day of this season. That we ask God to accept our penances and sanctify us through them. But we ask that with confidence because we know that God will do that for us. The rest of the Mass on Ash Wednesday continues that same theme of asking God to lift us up after we have brought ourselves down. The introit says, "Thou, O Lord, hast mercy on all, and hatest none of those things which thou hast created. Thou overlookest the sins of men to draw them to repentance, and thou pardonest them." So it reminds us of the mercy of God, and that's an amazing thought. If you think about all the sins of the world, all the sins that each one of us has committed, how patient God is with us. He just waits for us like the father of the prodigal son. He waits for us to come and return to him. And this is because he didn't come to call the just, he came to call sinners. Then we look at the epistle of the Mass. It gives us some of the motives why we should fast. And it also gives us some encouragement. The epistle is a passage from the book of Joel. It says, "Turn to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, patient and rich in mercy, and ready to repent of evil. Who knoweth, but he will return and forgive." So we should always keep that in mind when we're doing penance. The great love and mercy that God has for us, and his eagerness to forgive us. And really how generous he is towards even the least bit of penance that we do. And then we should look at the gospel of the Mass, and we read about our Lord telling us how we should fast. He says we should do it cheerfully and without complaining, so that only God will know that we are fasting. We shouldn't be sad. Lent is not a sad time. It's a time of penance, yes. It's a time for us to avoid worldly amusements and so on. But we shouldn't be depressed. God has given us an opportunity to reduce our debt of sin. And that's a joyful thought, really. We should be joyful in our penances. And a lot of times when people give up television or other bad habits in Lent, they often see that it actually is very liberating for the soul. So let us keep these thoughts in mind this holy season and remember that if we make a good effort this time, it'll help our souls for all eternity. This Lent may be our last one, and we want to get as much time off of our purgatory as possible. So let us pray for God's grace and have confidence and do our part, and we will never forget it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.